20. Amen. You have it. So I have the word. And I'm ready to receive it. Wherefore, it came to pass, when the time was come about, after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Amen. 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 May God have a blessing to us hearers and doers of his word. The grass wither, the flower fade, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. Amen. If you would, for a few minutes, just give your attention to me as I tag title and give you this thought for this message. And God heard me. Amen. And God heard me. Amen. I know that many times we do not feel like God is hearing us. Many times we don't feel like God is going to answer our prayers. A lot of times we don't understand why we deal with the things we have to deal with. But what we need to be assured of, if you would tonight, just grab your Bible and go with me to the Gospel according to St. Matthew. The Gospel according to St. Matthew. On Monday night, we found out that we were going to take steps to revival. And the first step was that we needed to revive ourselves into prayer. Be prayerful, right? The second night, we found that we basically needed to have faith or to trust God, right? And tonight, we're going to find out that the next step is to get a word from the Lord. If you pray and you trust God and you got a word, you already got the devil beat right there. All right. Amen? Yeah. Amen. So for us to get a word and believe his word, that's where we are on tonight. Amen. Amen. His word is significant. And I want to talk to you tonight about that. So go with me to Matthew, the Gospel of according to St. Matthew, chapter number 14. And we'll read verse 22. We'll parade and peruse the periphery of verse 22 through verse number 33. Amen? Amen. Amen. How many need a word tonight? That wasn't enough of y'all. I said, how many need a word tonight? Amen. Every mouth should have opened up. Amen. Every hand should have lifted. Amen. We all need a word. You know you can't live without the word. I know we think we can, but you can't. You know that God spoke a word, and that's why you're here. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. That's why you're alive, because he spoke a word of life to you. So we need a word to live, to survive. Amen. Amen. When you have the Gospel according to St. Matthew, and you're looking at chapter 14, verse number 22, I want you to say, I have the word, and I'm ready to receive it. And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him on the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down into the out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And when they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Amen. May God have the blessing, those hearers and doers of his word, the grass withered, the flower faded, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. Amen. I want to talk to you from this simple thought, the significance of a word. Amen. We must have a word. Amen. Amen. The gospel, according to St. Matthew, was written by Matthew. Matthew wrote to the tribes of Israel. He wrote to the Jews to let them know the things that Jesus had done. Matthew himself was a tax collector by trade, but his real name was Levi. And oftentimes when I talk from this book, I let people know that Matthew, or Levi, was doing his work about his business, being very lucrative in what he was doing, but his name was Levi. And one day Jesus passed by and he decided to follow Jesus. Now, when I think about that, Levi means that he was from the Levitical priesthood. He was not doing what God had originally designed for him to do, but he was doing what made ends meet. A lot of times we are the same way. We do what we want to do to make ends meet. We work that thing out like we want to work it out, but we don't do exactly what God intended for us to do. But it takes an experience with Jesus to help us to get up from the table and follow him. Amen. And so Matthew, he wrote this, and he wrote, and he was one of those disciples. And as he wrote, he gave us a lot of good nuggets, a lot of good things that we look at and we understand. I mean, he gave us chapter five, where he has the Beatitudes. And I've been to that mountain where Jesus, he stood there and he spoke, and the people were below. And it's just a beautiful place, a place of peace. I mean, it's one of those places that you know something significant happened. You know that there was a once upon a time a significant word given to a significant people. Amen. And so here it is now. Matthew, in this 14th chapter, he begins by talking about John the Baptist and how John the Baptist had been beheaded, and they went and told Jesus. But Jesus, he went on out and he went away, and the people followed him into the desert place or the wilderness, and they stood out there because they wanted a word. They wanted not only a word, but they heard he had done miracles. Amen. And there was a multitude of people. And the Bible says that he took out 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread that he had gotten from a young boy, and he fed the multitude. Amen. That goes to show you right there that God can do a whole lot with just a little bit. It doesn't matter what you got. Amen. And he pulled up 12 baskets after they had fed all of those people. Ain't nobody but God can do that. All right. God and my grandmother. Amen. Anybody but God can do that. I'm just checking to see if y'all are awake tonight. But the thing is that there was a multitude, and these people, you know, a lot of times we got to be careful. I want to ask the question, but I want you to know you got to be careful of what group you're in. Because many of us, I want to ask you, are you in the multitude, or are you a disciple, or are you in the inner circle? See, Jesus had 3 types of people following him. He had a multitude who was there because they ate good. And they knew that he had miracles that followed him. They really didn't have a close walk with him in a relationship, but they was there just because they knew something could happen at any moment. They was just fascinated about what they saw and what they heard. They were glad to get there and to receive it. But then he had the disciples who were able not only to partake in the miracles and see what happened, but they were able to get a backstage, if you will, a backstage interview with Jesus on what went on after it happened. And then you had, because the disciples, all of them wasn't all, you know what I'm saying, they wasn't all that, tied to Jesus, because the Bible said they all scattered. But then he had 3. He had 3 of them that he trusted to be able to see him at a low state in his life. When he got on the Garden of Gethsemane, he was praying. They were able to see him at a state that he said, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death." They got to see him at a place when he was transfigured, when nobody else could see him. They were able to see him and realize that he was not just an ordinary man, but he was Theanthropos. He was God and man at the same time. Y'all still with me here? And so I just want you to be, I want you to be aware not to be just in the multitude. I want you to be aware not to be satisfied with just being a disciple. I want to be close to Jesus. I want to be in his inner circle. Because if I'm in his inner circle, I can be like John and say, who is it that will betray thee? And he'll say, the one that I give the sop to. In other words, he starts to share secret things with you. And you understand mysteries about God. I wish I had somebody here. And when other people say he works in mysterious ways, you say, I know, but I know how that mystery works. Come on and say amen here. And so when we talk about this, when we go down, we find out that he now have sent them, he's fed them, and he's ready to send them away in verse 22. And straightway Jesus, he constrained his disciples. He got them out of the multitude, because you know how it is when we close to somebody that did something great. Don't let somebody go and play on TV. Oh, that's my cousin. Yeah, you know, and they were out there, you know, Jesus, yeah, Jesus did that. You know what else he did? We, you know, they was talking about, and Jesus said, hey, come on, let's go. And so he constrained his disciples. He said, now you get into a ship, leave the people. Because you know what happens a lot of times when we linger? A lot of times that's when the mess starts. Oh, my God, today. That's why, you know, we go on and preach this word, have good church, and ain't no need in hanging around talking about who did what. Let's go home and enjoy the bed after we get out of here. Yeah. Amen. But he told them, come on, let's go to the other side. And he said, go on unto the other side, and I'll send the multitude away. I'll tell them to leave. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. Now, you know, the difference between us and Jesus here is that when something miraculous happens, something powerful happens, we don't think to go pray. We want to go play. We want to go celebrate, and we won't ever come off that celebration. We start doing stuff we ain't got no business doing, because something good has happened in our life. When God blesses us with a job, we don't go to church and pray. We go, some of us meet up at Chili's at the bar. Preaching here. Can I say that? Amen. When something happens, we get a new car, we don't go by the church first. Come on. We ride by the club scene so people can see us in our new ride. Come on and say amen. Ride by the tree. Wherever people hang out, we go by there. We're not going to pray. But Jesus went and prayed. And when it was even, when it had come, he was by himself. You know, that's something that man can't really do good. We can't be alone good. We can't hang by ourselves good. We can't pray and say, you know, I just want some time so I can get my thoughts together, so I can be ready for whatever God is wanting me to do next. See, Jesus knew that there was something next coming. But see, we act like we're surprised when the next thing comes. Because we did something so great, and then we have some trouble next. Well, God is saying, I want to use you to get through that trouble as a witness, but we don't want to go through the trouble. Right. We don't want to go through the trial. Let me go on here, because it seems like I'm rocking you to sleep tonight. All right. So we find out in verse 24, there was a tossing going on. Verse 24 says, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Now we see here that when they went to the other side, they were in the sea. This is the Sea of Galilee, and to let you know about the Sea of Galilee, it's a sea that sits right in between several mountains. The mountains just surround the Sea of Galilee, and so it would be kind of hard to, once you're in the sea, to be able to see a storm coming over the mountain. Before you know it, the storm will be already on top of you. Amen. And sometimes in our life, we're like we're in the Sea of Galilee. We don't always see the storm coming, but before we know it, the storm is already pouring out. The wind is already blowing. Come on and say amen. And so here's a tossing. The sea began to toss the boat, and the waves begin to beat upon the boat, and the wind began to blow. And by this time, it's already nighttime. It's way in the wee hours of the morning. Amen. And we find out that these men were in the boat, but they were in danger because they had been tossed. They were in a place that was dark. Amen. Because it was nighttime. And they were in deep trouble because the Sea of Galilee is pretty deep. Amen. But what we understand here is that they obeyed Jesus by going to the other side. But when they obeyed, they did not know that there would be opposition. I came to let you know that when you obey what God is saying to do, there will always be some opposition. You got to know that the devil wants to turn you around. He wants to shake you up. He wants to make you fear. He wants you to be scared, but you got to go and obey the word of God. Now help me tonight. And so they were opposed by the storm that came up. They were seafaring men, so seemed like their seafaring experience should have kicked in, and they should have said, oh, we know exactly what to do, because they were fishermen. And since they were fishermen, I know y'all watched The Perfect Storm, and or maybe you've heard about it, or you heard about when fishermen really want to catch fish. They go out when it's storming because you can get a big old mess of fish. They were that type of fishermen. So they knew how to navigate in a storm. But see here, their ability to navigate was taken away, because I just told you that it was dark. Meaning that they could not navigate because they could not see the stars. They could not see the light that would guide them. Sometimes in our life, we get to a place where we think we're obeying God, and it gets so dark that we can't see a light. We don't know which way to turn. And guess what? They had gotten to a place that they had gotten so turned around that they didn't know where they were. And sometimes in life, we're the same way. We get so turned around because so much is happening in our life. We don't know which way to go, and I don't know where I am, Pastor. Would you please pray for me? I don't know what to do next. Would you please lay your hands on me? Would you please pray? Come on and say amen here. They lost their ability to navigate. They didn't know where they were. The lesson here is that you got to understand that even if you know how to handle the sea, you still need Jesus in the storm. Oh my God here. Even if you know how to swim, even if you know how to navigate, you still need God in order to make it through the storm. Come on and say amen. And so when we see here that they, even though they had experience, even though they were seafaring men, they were still tossed. They were still in a place that they didn't want to be in. They still had issues. Even though they obeyed God, they still faced obstacles. They still faced a contrary wind, a wind that was just mean, a wind that was ready to blow them down. They still faced the waves that were beating up against the boat. And they got to a place that they were probably taking on water, and they begin to fear. Come on and say amen. It does not matter how skillful you are. It doesn't matter how intelligent you are. It doesn't matter how many years you've been coming to church. You will always, sometime in your life, find yourself in a dark place. You'll find yourself in a place of danger. You'll find yourself in a place where it seems to be deep trouble. Come on and say amen. But you'll find yourself in a place where you might not know which way to turn, but you just wait on Jesus. Because the next verse tells us, in the fourth watch, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. So here it is, they were in a tossing, but then that ain't enough. Now they find themselves falling into a testing. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I know we don't like tests, but tests are good sometimes. Because when you take a test, that means you're going to graduate and go to another level. And so God wants to take you to another level, so he has to give you a test so that you can be able to pass the test. And maybe you can remember what he's taught you, the word that he's given you. You can apply it to your life. Come on and say hallelujah. So that is the significance of a word. Amen. We need to know that the significance of having a word on your side when it's dark is everything you need, because if I got a word and I can't see, the word can be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Do I have anybody tonight? So here comes the testing. Verse 25 said, in the fourth watch, Jesus went walking on the sea.
And so when Jesus went walking on the sea, he walked on the sea, and they had never seen him do this before. So guess what? Now God comes to them in a new way. Lord, help me today. I'm going to slow down so you can get this. Amen. God comes to them in a new way, and it scares the mess out of them. See, sometimes when God do something that you haven't seen him do before, people will look at it and say, "Now, I don't know if that's God," but you got to know that that's him. Because let me tell you something, when he comes in a new way, can't nobody but God do some new things in your life. Oh, come on and say amen. Look, God will do something new that you've never seen before. I'm not saying that it's going to be new to everybody, but it's new to you. Like when you open up the Bible, it's something you read, you say, "Man, I never seen that before." It's new to you, but somebody saw it. I wish I had somebody here. But Jesus comes walking on the water. He comes in a new way, and it makes them get further into fear. On top of them being in fear of the storm, now they think they see a spirit. Now they're afraid. But I want to let you know something, that even though they were in a storm, God speaks in a storm. Even if God comes in a new way, he's going to let you know, "I'm coming in a new way." I wish I had somebody. He began to speak in the storm. And so when we look at this, we understand that it was dark and they were in a storm, but they were afraid. And we know that God tells us that he's not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. We can't be afraid when we get in a storm. We have to trust the word of God. We can't be afraid when things begin to toss us. We got to trust the word of God. The word is significant in our life. We need to have a word, and if you got a word, you'll be able to stand against the storm. You'll be able to stand against whatever fears the enemy might bring to you, because they used to say that he'll calm all your fears and soothe all your doubts. Do I have any witnesses here? And so he says now, and he speaks to them, and when he speaks the word of power and peace. Look at this. Jesus comes walking to them, and he tells us that it's the fourth watch. It's way in the wee hours of the night. And when Jesus comes to them walking on the sea, they get even more fearful. But fear is not even a real thing. Fear is false evidence appearing real. F-E-A-R. In other words, you know, some people say, "Man, that, I think it's a ghost over there," and they run and they hurt themselves. And a lot of times, you know, all it is that they just spooky and superstitious, and they've been taught that, and they ain't going to no graveyard. They hurt themselves. Ain't nothing to fear in the graveyard. Amen. Ain't nothing to fear. Oh, I know y'all don't want to hear that tonight. So we should not be operating in fear. We should be operating in faith. Faith dispels fear. Casts fear out. There is no room for fear when you have faith. So what is it we ought to have faith in? We should have faith in the word. The problem is we don't always know the word of God. And that's why we need to be listening to the word rather than looking for the meal. Get out of the multitude and let's follow him to the mountaintop. Oh, come on and say amen here. Oh, yeah. And so here it is. He comes to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples see him walking on the sea, they're troubled. And they say, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. They begin to scream and holler. These are grown men. And they had been in the sea at night before, or Jesus wouldn't have told them to go over. But they begin to fear. And you know, sometimes some things that we think should be easy for us, it's not easy. Some things we experience, it should be easy, but it's not easy. But we can't fear all those things. We got to believe what God has said. It's important for you to know, when you say, "I'm believing God for something," it is important for you to know what the word of God says about what you're believing God for. A lot of times we say we believe in God and we don't know what scripture to stand on. We must stand on the word of God. Amen. When you stand on the word and you believe the word of God, then all you need to do is let God work, because he says this about his word. He said, I sent my word to the thing that I sent it to, to prosper the thing that I sent it to. And so since God sent his word to you, he intends for you to prosper. But what we mess up at is that we sometimes look at the vessel that's given us the word, and we don't want the word. Come on and say amen. We got to quit looking at the container and look at the contents that's in the container. I wish I had a few people tonight. Oh, my Lord. All right, I guess I'll go slower. And Jesus comes to them. They're afraid. They're in fear, and they begin to yell, and they begin to cry out and shout. And they cried for fear, but then look at what Jesus did. Straightway, Jesus spake to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I, and be not afraid. I don't care how many times God tells us that, we still cry. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. He says to them, he speaks to them, and he says, be not afraid. It is who? I. When God speaks in the midst of a storm, he speaks because he wants to give you peace. He also speaks because he wants you to have power. But he also speaks because he wants you to know your potential. Lord, help me today. He wants you to know that every time he speaks, that he gives you the ability to walk in peace, to walk in power, and he wants you to know that you got plenty of potential to overcome every obstacle, every storm, everything that makes you fear. God said, I'm speaking a word so that you'll be able to get over it. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah, he says, it is I. And so he started to tell them, he taught them, he said, when Jesus started talking about I, we got to go all the way back to Moses. When God said, I am, that I am. I wish I had somebody. When Jesus said, it is I, you ought to quit worrying about your storm. When Jesus said, it is I, you ought to not doubt whether it's him or not. He said, when he said, I am the bread of life. Oh, come on and say amen here. He said, I am the resurrection. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the, I wish I had a few people that would go with me. When Jesus said, I am, when you put I am in it, you know that you got the power of God working with you. And so when he tells us, and sometimes when we say stuff and we confess what God's word says, sometimes we don't feel like it. So we appear not to be telling the whole truth, but we're saying it in hope. But I want you to know you need to go ahead and say it anyway, because when he said, let the weak say, I am strong. He's letting you know that I'm in the midst of your weakness. God weakens us sometime to strengthen us, to show us that we need to rely on him. Do I have anybody? He said, let the poor say, I am. I am rich. I don't care how broke you are. I don't care how much you don't have. I don't care what you ain't got in your pocket. Your money can be funny. Your change can be strange. But he said, let the poor say, I am rich. We got to learn how to put I am in there. When Jesus say I am, we got to fill in the blank. When he say I am, we need to say my healer. When he say I am, we got to say my doctor in a sick room. Grandma knew how to say it. When he say I am, my bridge over troubled water. When he says I am, we need to say my honey in the rock. When he say I am, he's my water when I'm thirsty. I am, he'll be your all in all. He'll be your everything if you just let him be it. Oh, come on and say hallelujah in here. Oh, glory. Glory be to God. We need to learn how to take what he said. I am. Oh, yeah. He came to them letting them know it is I. It's not a stranger. And, you know, we got to understand to hear God's voice. We got to know God's voice. We got to continue to listen for God's voice, because he says that my sheep will not follow a stranger. They won't listen to a voice of a stranger. And so right now, if you're just a sheep, you need to get used to hearing the shepherd's voice, because there are going to be some people who are not sheep. They're going to be shepherds. They're going to be ravenous wolves in shepherd's clothing, and they're going to lead people astray. They're already here. They're already talking stuff. Sometimes you hear them on TV. Sometimes you hear them at certain churches. But you got to realize that you got to hear God in whatever's being spoken. You need to be able to hear God from the person who's speaking. I wish I had somebody, because not everybody get up to speak. They're not getting up speaking God's word. Some people get up to throw off at folks. Some people get up to see what they can get out of folks. Some people get up because they want to entertain entertain folks, but I get up because I want God to speak to folks. I want God to lead them the way that he wants them to go. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. Here it was, they were in a test. Oh yeah, they were in a test. And you know one thing I love about testing? God, you know, got to understand that just like teachers, they don't always speak during the test. But they let you know that they are there. Come on and say amen. They let you know I'm in the room with you. But you can go ahead on and take your test. And what God is saying to us tonight, that whatever you go through, I'm in the room with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Go on and take your test. Because I've given you ahead of time all the answers. But you got to listen up. I wish I had somebody. Oh, come on and say amen. But look at what he says here. He said, be not afraid. It's I. And he tells Peter, says in verse 28, and